This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, ala alihi wa sahbihi wa ala thumma amma ba'd, to proceed. So today, inshallah, we'll go over Zakatul Fitr. And Imam al-Qudam rahimahullah ta'ala said in his book al-Umda, Babu Zakatul Fitr, the chapter on Zakatul Fitr, which would be translated as sort of obligatory charity given at the end of the fast of Ramadan. Imam al-Qudam rahimahullah said, وَهِيَ وَاجِبَةٌ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ مَلَكَ فَضْلًا عَنْ قُوتِهِ وَقُوتِ عِيَالِهِ لَيْلَةَ الْعِيدِ وَيَوْمَهِ وَهِيَ وَاجِبَةٌ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ. It is obligatory on every Muslim. مَلَكَ فَضْلًا عَنْ قُوتِهِ وَقُوتِ عِيَالِهِ, who owns more than the essential food for himself and his dependents. لَيْلَةَ الْعِيدِ وَيَوْمَهُ, for the eve and the day of the Eid, because the eve of the Eid becomes before the day of the Eid. The eve and the day of the Eid. So when does Zakat al-Fitr become obligatory? Because that makes a big difference with many things, you know, very consequential. Zakat al-Fitr becomes obligatory on sunset, the sunset of the last day of Ramadan, which is the beginning of the night of the Eid. The eve of the Eid starts before the day of the Eid, you know. So at that time, this is when the obligation descends on you. And at that time, where are you? That is where you're going to pay the zakat. How many kids do you have? That's what, if you had like a baby born an hour before that time, you'll pay the zakat for that baby. If that baby was born like after sunset by 2 minutes, you don't have to pay the zakat for that baby. And so on. So the time of the obligation is very consequential in rulings. At that time, where you are, that's where you pay the zakat. You know, who do you have as dependents? That's what you will pay the zakat on behalf of. So the Sheikh said here that it is obligatory, and that is by agreement. Zakat al-Fitr is obligatory by agreement on every Muslim who has more than food for himself and for his dependents on for the eve and the day of the Eid. So when the sun sets, the last day of Ramadan, if you have food for more than 24 hours, that's the eve and the day of the Eid, food for more than 24 hours, you have to pay Zakat al-Fitr. You can imagine that almost everybody is paying Zakat al-Fitr. Could you be paying Zakat al-Fitr and receiving Zakat al-Fitr? Absolutely. Could you be paying Zakat and receiving Zakat in general? Yes, except that the Hanafis would not agree to this. But the majority said yes. You could own more than the Nisab, the threshold, the Zakat threshold, and pay the Zakat, and still be deserving of zakah, because what you own is insufficient for your needs. But the Hanafis said that the nisab is the cutoff between richness and poverty. If you have more than nisab, you're rich, you are liable for zakah, but never a deserving recipient. Is that clear? And that is why, you know, sometimes in the zakah committees, people have different backgrounds that, you know, can we give like a zakat to someone, for instance, who has an iPhone? You probably can. I mean, if you have an iPhone, you probably have more than the zakat threshold. You have probably more than the nisab. But if that person is still needing money for their, like, you know, essential needs and stuff like this, without exaggeration, without extravagance, without any excesses, then according to the majority, you could be liable for zakat and a deserving recipient at the same time, versus the Hanafi position. Okay, so But in Zakat al-Fitr, you know, if you have more than just the food for yourself and your dependents for that next 24 hours, you're liable to pay the Zakat. But you could be receiving the Zakat, so you could give one sa' for each one of you and your dependents, and then you could get like a ton of food as a deserving recipient. Then the Sheikh said, وقدر الفطرة صاع من البر أو الشعير أو دقيقهما أو سويقهما أو من التمر أو الزبيب فإن لم يجده أخرج من قوته أي شيء كان صاعا. The amount of zakat al-fitr is one sa. Did we go over the one sa before? We did for, you know, basically the fill of two hands is one mud. Multiply this by four, that would be one sa. It is a measure of volume, not a measure of weight. So when we express it in weight, that is out of convenience, may not be particularly precise. So you could say 2.2, like it depends on what it is, you know, because some things are heavier than others. But you could say 2.2. If you want to be safe, 2.5 kilograms would be good. 2.5 kilograms would be about 6 pounds, five and a half pounds. If you want to be safe, 6 pounds of food would be good. So that's the sa. Sa, he said, the amount of zakat al-fitr is one sa of wheat or barley or their flour. It can also be paid in their ground or crushed form or in dates or raisins. However, if he cannot find those, he should give any kind of food staples that he eats that would measure one sa. Any type of food staples that he eats that would measure one sa. So, and that's the issue here, the big issue of, can we give the value of zakat? Does it have to be in kind, or can we give out the value in whichever form? And that is the disagreement between the Jumhur, the Maliki Shafi'is and Hanbalis, and the Hanafis. Maliki Shafi'is and Hanbalis said you have to give the designated whatever it is, whatever has been designated by the Prophet ﷺ to be paid. And the Hanafis said it is, you know, the value of what is designated is permissible to give out. Now, like so, the Hanbalis actually, where is this coming from? There are two ahadith here. You know, the main ahadith in this regard, two ahadith. Hadith that is agreed upon from Abdullah ibn Umar, where he said that the farad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam zakat al-fitr sa'an min tamrin aw sa'an min al-sha'ir ala al-'abd wal-hurr wal-dhakari wal-untha wal-saghir wal-kabir wa amara biha an tukhraj qabla as-salah. And the Prophet ﷺ had mandated or made required or obligatory zakat al-fitr. Zakat al-fitr. Sa'an min tamrin aw sa'an min sha'ir. Two things were mentioned in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar: dates and barley. Nothing else was mentioned in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar. Dates and barley only mentioned. And then he said, and he made it mandatory on the slave and the free, the young and the old, the male and the female of the Muslimin, every Muslim, zakat al-fitr. And certainly, who's required, who's liable, you know, the head of the household or the person, the, you know. So it is mandatory on everyone, but the one that is required to give it out on their behalf is the head of the household. He starts by himself, because the Prophet said, ibn afsik, and then his dependents, because the Prophet said, ibda biman ta'ud. Ibda binafsik, start with yourself. Ibda biman ta'ud. Ta'ud, start with your dependents. So you have to be, look out and look after your dependents first, and then everybody else. It goes out in circles like this. So someone who's like not good to their, you know, immediate circle will not be good to the, you know, farther away circles. And if they are good, it is ostentatious. It is not really genuine. So, but going back to the obligation, the things that can be paid For zakat al-fitr, dates and barley in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar, and the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, the hadith has different wordings of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. The hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri has different wordings. And one of the wordings can be used by Imam Abu Hanifa, by the way, to justify giving it out in value, in which the hadith said that the farad Rasulullah sallam zakat al fitr sa'an min ta'am, aw sa'an min ta'am, aw sa'an min sha'irin, aw sa'an min tamrin, aw zabibin, aw aqit. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made mandatory paying zakat al-fitr as one saw of food, ta'am, food. Later, some versions of the hadith, that food was mentioned to be wheat, but it is probably narrators that added that wheat, because the Prophet ﷺ may have not said wheat in particular. They did not have wheat, they did not eat wheat. It was thereafter, it became one of their food staples afterwards, after the Prophet ﷺ, they used to eat barley. It mentioned five different types of food. It said ta'am, which is food, and that ta'am was translated by some narrators to be wheat, because that's the other thing that was added to their food staples. And then in hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, it mentioned dates, it mentioned raisins, it mentioned certainly barley, and it mentioned aqit. And aqit is a form of cheese that is made of dried milk. You dry up the milk, it turns into cheese. It's dried milk cheese. It's a form of cheese that is made of dried milk. So that is aqit. Here, some of the versions of this hadith, وَكَانُوا يُعْطُونَ, they used to give out this, this, and that. Some of the versions of this hadith, وَكَانَ طَعَامُهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ التَّمْرُ وَالشَّعِيرُ وَالزَّبِيبُ وَالْأَقِدْ. And their usual food staples then used to be tamr and sha'ir. The wordings of the hadith would make it look like that these were prescribed not because of something inherent to them, but incidentally, they were the food staples that they had at the time. So the Prophet ﷺ told them, give out of the food staples that you just have. وَكَانَ طَعَامُهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ such and such. Their food then used to be such and such. That is why even the Jumhur, they extended this to food staples. Food staples. So we can, in all honesty, with the preservation of food nowadays, canned food could go out. So we don't have to, like, We can stick to the food thing, because there could be some wisdom here. Imam Abu Hanifa said that the particular designation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not intended for itself. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Give bint Makhad for 25 camels, give bint Makhad, which is like a 1-year-old she camel." Then he said, if you don't find bint Makhad, give Ibn Labun, which is a 2-year-old male camel. Not 1-year-old, 2-year-old male camel, because male camels are cheaper than female camels. So he paid attention to the value here. And if you don't have, the particular type of camel, the particular age of camel, you can give a lower age and supplement to this or add to this, two sheep, two goats, which shatan means two sheep or goats, or what the Prophet ﷺ said, or 20 dirhams. 20 dirhams. So the Imam Abu Hanifa is saying, well, he is using value here because two sheep would be about 20 dirhams, and he's given alternatives here, so it is not the particular thing. Some other, you know, the other scholars said there could be wisdom in the particular designation of food. There could be wisdom because the maybe people, it is in Abdullah ibn Abbas, it's reported by Abu Dawood from Abdullah ibn Abbas, that he said, فَرَضَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ سَلَّمْ زَكَاةَ الْفِطْرِ or صَدَقَةَ الْفِطْرِ تُهْرَةً لِلصَّائِمِ مِنَ اللَّغْوِ وَالرَّفَثِ وَطُعْمَةً لِلْمَسَاكِينَ. The Prophet ﷺ prescribed zakat al-fitr to be a means of purification for the one who fasted. Purification from what? Laghu, frivolity, rafath, sort of indecency, obscenity, وَطُعْمَةً لِلْمَسَاكِينَ, and to feed the masakeen. To feed the masakeen. So the Prophet ﷺ did not only, he mentioned feeding, and it may be also appropriate and suitable that after the month of fasting, that we are ensuring that no one stays hungry in the Muslim community. And since we're given food staples, those food staples will be there with them. You know, you give them like lots of canned food and, you know, pasta and rice and this and this, like Allah. So if you give it out in money, you could be given a larger number of people, or you could be giving people for their other needs, and some people will still be left hungry. Or the very people that you gave them the money, they use the money for some other purpose that may be different, and they would, you know, in a couple of months be hungry, or, you know, a couple of days be hungry and not, you know, buy food for. That is why even in the welfare system there's some things that, you know, not everything is given out in cash, but also food stamps and so on. So you could say that the Jumhur, they have a point. The Imam Abu Hanifa also has a point. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah chose a position in the middle. He said that, you know, that the default is that you will give whatever designated by the Prophet ﷺ. So whatever the Prophet designated, you give that which the Prophet ﷺ designated, because his designation has to have some weight, has to carry like some weight. But then, if there is haja or maslaha rajaha, if there is an identifiable need or a greater benefit, then you could give the value. Then you could give the value. And in certain cases, there would be identifiable need or greater benefit. If there is an identifiable need or greater benefit to give the value, such as giving currency, cash, in place of food for zakat al-fitr, or such as giving, you know, let's say that you run your zakat committee in your masjid, and instead of giving people cash, you're giving people stuff, you know, in kind, sadaqah. You're giving the people clothes, you're giving the people food, you're giving the people vouchers to buy certain things, you know, or paying their rent or doing, but not giving them the cash in their hands. That would still be permissible according to the Imam Abu Hanifa. And when there is an obvious need or a greater benefit, likely it should be okay. So the default for zakat al-fitr is that it goes out in the because keep in mind also that why is it that I usually advise people to give it out in food? If you give it out in food, you will be fine, blameless, according to the four mazahib. If you give it out in cash, you will not be fine according to three out of four. So wouldn't it be nice to be just blameless according to everybody? You know, unless there is a clear-cut greater benefit or a need to give the value, then you may give the value. But for the default, try to stay safe. And Imam Hanifa, if you give 1,000 food, he will not tell you why did you give out food. You know, food is preferred. Food is what is designated by the Prophet ﷺ. Everybody is happy with food. But can you give it out in other forms? That is the discussion. Okay. Next, Imam Ibn Qudamah rahimahullah said, وَمَنْ لَزِمَتْهُ فِطْرَةُ نَفْسِهِ لَزِمَتْهُ فِطْرَةُ مَنْ تَلْزَمُهُ مُؤْنَتُهُ أَوْ مَؤْنَتُهُ لَيْلَةَ الْعِيدِ إِذَا مَلَكَ مَا يُؤَدِّي عَنْهُ. Whoever must pay zakat al-fitr for himself must also pay it for all of his dependents if he owns enough on the eve of Eid to pay for them. By the way, I did not give the last discussion justice, because if I give it justice, we will have to spend 30 minutes, you know, in terms of, like, can we give it out in kind or value? But there is a lot more to this. One of the things that Imam Abu Hanifa also used is that Mu'adh ibn Jabal said to the people of Medina, you know, give me your garments, your whatever garments that you sew, because they are known for certain garments, labis or khamis, instead of food, ahwan alaykum wa khayrun li ashabi rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, would be better for you and more of greater benefit for the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now this was reported by Bukhari, but it is mu'allaq, he did not give it a chain. It's a long story, but the idea here is there are other proofs that Imam Abu Hanifa can use to justify giving things out in value, not in kind, not in sort of the particular designation. The next point is this. He talked in the first that if you have food enough for yourself and your dependents, you need to pay zakat for one day, then you need to pay zakat. And then he went back and then he talked about the dependents one more time, but here he's saying that you are responsible to pay for your dependents. So you have to figure out who are your dependents, multiply one sa' times yourself plus your dependents. If you have four kids and your wife, you multiply by six, right? You know, right? Correct. So who are your dependents? Like, who are your dependents? Inshallah, we will go over this, and when we go over the fiqh of family, we will go over this in more detail. But briefly, who are your dependents? The Imam Ahmad and the Imam Abu Hanifa are the ones who basically expanded the circle of dependence to relatives. Imam Ahmad says that the circle of dependence includes everybody that will inherit from you. Every relative that will inherit from you is your dependent. And Imam al-Shafi'i, Imam Malik said, your kids and your parents, and that's it. Your kids and your parents. And you know, for people, you know, a little bit, you know, thrifty, on the thrifty side, Imam Malik's position may be handy. So, kids and parents, and he stops. Imam Shafi'i added ancestors and descendants. So it's still Amuda in Nasab, it is still, the upwards and downwards from you, but it is not limited to kids and parents. It's not limited to kids and parents. You're also responsible for your grandparents and great-grandparents and so on and so forth. Everyone lahu wilada alayk wa laka wilada alayk. So everyone that gave birth to you or you gave birth to them, you will be responsible for them. But these are the different positions in general. What do you think is stronger? Maybe take the Shafi'i position here. Whoever is closer would be the responsible person. So if your grandfather, if you're rich and your father is rich and your grandfather is poor, your father is responsible for your grandfather, not you, because he's closer to him. The same applies. Whoever is closer will be responsible. Whoever is closer. No. If they are independent of the father on their own, left and on their own, they are heads of their own households, they pay for themselves. And they pay for their dependents. And when we say this, keep in mind, whoever is closer, you know, like you're responsible for everybody, ancestors. But the you have your parents, you have your grandparents, you have your great-grandparents, you have your great-great-great-grandparents. So, like, if poor, everybody else is rich. Who's responsible? Because higher up, you know, the father is more responsible for the son than the son is responsible for the father. So here it has to do with the jiha, has to do with the direction. Okay, but if we are in the same direction, from the same direction, let's say remove this, no great-great-great-grandparent, but you have those here, and poor, rich. Who's responsible? He will be responsible. This will be responsible for this, because even though it's the same direction, but it is korb, from the korb-wise, but we'll have to stop. So, I'm sorry. Just because I know we can... Yeah, because I saw three or four people here having questions. Disambiguation, we can carry on. Is it disambiguation or clarification?
It was a clarification.
Oh, clarification. Keep it for you know the Q&A session.
Yeah.
But if what I'm saying is ambiguous, you could always ask for disambiguation. So here, the idea here, if we take the Shafi'i position, which is upwards and downwards from you, you're responsible for them. Two things here. The direction, father is more responsible for son than son is responsible for father. And then the, basically if both are rich, you know, rich here, poor in the middle, then it goes down from the grandfather to the father versus the other way around. And we have also the qurb, which is the proximity. So the son will be more responsible for the father than the grandson is responsible for the grandfather. So وَمَنْ لَزِمَتْهُ فِطْرَةْ نَفْسِهِ. If we take the Hanbali position, it is more complicated because, you know, more relatives that inherit from you will be your dependents. ومن لزمته فطرة نفسه لزمته فطرة من تلزمه مؤنته ليلة العيد إذا ملك ما يؤدي عنه. We are done with this. Whoever must pay zakat al-fitr for himself must also pay it for all of his dependents if he owns enough on the eve of Eid to pay for them. Then the Sheikh said, فإن كانت مؤنته تلزم جماعة كالعبد المشترك والمعسر القريب لجماعة ففطرته عليهم على حسب مؤنته فإن كان بعضه حرا ففطرته عليه وعلى سيده. If someone's provision is the responsibility of a group of people, like a shared slave or someone in financial difficulty who is a relative of a group of people, now that group of people are equally related to him. It is not like some of them are closer or some of them have like a stronger direction, but equally, let us say, at someone who has three rich brothers and he is poor. In the Hanbali madhab, if he inherits it from them, he is their dependent. And in this case, they're equally related to him. How do they pay his zakat al-fitr? They divide it into three parts. Each one of them pays out one-third of a sa'. And then, and he even gives the example of someone... if a slave is partially free, his zakat al-fitr is obligatory on both him and his master. Like he owns one-third of himself on his way to basically owning himself, and his master owns two-thirds. Two-thirds, the master will have to pay. One-third, he will have to pay. ويستحب إخراج الفطرة يوم العيد قبل صلاة العيد ولا يجوز تأخيرها عن يوم العيد ويجوز تقديمها عليه بيومين أو ثلاثة. He said here, and this is about the time now, the time. Well, when it comes to the time, so Salat al-Eid, when does it start and when does it end? Start, end. Should we begin with starting or ending? Starting. Okay. When does it start? Okay. Imam Abu Hanifa said it starts any time. You could give it even before Ramadan starts. Imam Shafi'i said from Ramadan first it starts, you could give it. Imam Malik and Imam Ahmad said 1 to 2 days prior to the Eid. 1 to 2 days prior to the Eid. Is that clear? Why did they say this? Well, Imam Ahmad and Imam Malik said 1 to 2 days prior to the Eid because Abdullah ibn Umar said that the Sahaba used to give it out 1 to 2 days prior to the Eid. 1 to 2 days prior to the Eid. And they say, Imam Malik and Imam Ahmad, there are two causes, asbab, for this zakat to become obligatory. One, that you fasted in Ramadan. Two, that the Eid came in. And both causes have to be taken in consideration. But since they give it out 1 or 2 days prior to Eid, we will still accept it 1 to 2 days prior to Eid. And they cite they cite a hadith, you know, that is not strong, in which the Prophet ﷺ said, "أغنوهم عن الطواف في هذا اليوم" or "أغنوهم عن السؤال في هذا اليوم." Basically, spare them of begging or asking or going around looking for help or assistance on that day. Well, Imam Abu Hanifa used this hadith, by the way, to say that what matters is the value, not the food. Because if you give them cash, you will have done what is needed, what is required. It's to spare them of asking or begging or going around seeking assistance on that day. أغنوهم عن السؤال أو أغنوهم عن الطواف في هذا اليوم. The Malikis and Hanbalis used it in a different way. They used it to say, since it is about that day and it is about, you know, making them, sparing them of going around asking for assistance on that day, you should not give it before that day. Or if you give it before that day, it has to be immediately before that day. And since the Sahaba used to give it 1 or 2 days earlier, then we will stick with what the Sahaba did and give it 1 to 2 days earlier. Imam Shafi'i said, well, the two asbab, the two causes are the beginning of Ramadan, which is the beginning of the month of fasting. And he also recognized that there is another cause for the obligation of Zakat al-Fitr, which is Eid. But he said one cause should be sufficient to basically to pay the zakat. And then Imam Abu Hanifa said, since this is a zakat like any other zakat, we can make ta'jeel of zakat. We can pay zakat in advance. You know, like anyone who is liable for anything, if he gives it early, that's good. If you're liable for zakat al-mal and you have the nisab, so the cause of obligation is there, you could give zakat al-mal for up to 1 or 2 years prior to your zakat due date and then subtract it on your zakat due date from the zakat that you will give. So Imam Abu Hanifa is saying, why can't we do this with zakat al-fitr if we can do it with zakat al-mal? And you agree with us that we can do it with zakat al-mal, so why don't you agree with us on zakat al-fitr as well? They'll come back and say, but because this is special, this is for this Eid day and making sure that they have enough sustenance for the Eid day. That's the disagreement in general. Now, the two nuances here is that if you give the zakat to the zakat organization, we consider the zakat organization nowadays to be the wakil of al-faqir, acting on behalf of the faqir, or the agent of the faqir. Being the agent of the faqir, if you give it to them, but this will apply to the end, not the beginning. But even if you give it to them earlier, we consider them to be double agents. The zakat organizations, they are considered to be double agents. They are your agents and they're also the faqir's agents. So if you give it to them earlier, hopefully you should still be okay according to Imam Ahmad and Imam Malik, because if they, as your agents, give it to the faqir a day or two before Eid, you should be safe, hopefully, according to Imam Ahmad and Imam Malik, because we're considering them to be your agent and the faqir's agent. If you give it to them right before Salat al-Eid, and it makes it to the faqir the next day, or in 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 days, hopefully you still will be okay, because we consider them, as I said, double agents. They are the agents of the poor. So you have delivered the zakah, in this case, to the agents of the poor prior to Salat al-Eid. So you should also be safe. So they coming in the middle facilitates this. However, it is always preferred that you give the zakat by yourself if you know poor people that you could give the zakat to, particularly if they are related or neighbors, then it is always better that you take care of this by yourself. Okay. Now the end. Okay, we said that it is preferable to pay zakat al-fitr on the day of Eid before the prayer. It is not permissible to delay it until after the day of Eid, but it is permissible to pay it 2 or 3 days in advance. You know, they extended it to 2 to 3 days, to 3 days in advance as well. Okay. Now, he said it is not permissible to delay it until after the day of Eid. So, the Prophet ﷺ in the hadith that is reported by Abu Dawood from Abdullah ibn Abbas, and you remember this hadith when we were talking, for Rasulullah ﷺ, صدقت الفطر طهرة للصائم من اللغو والرفث طعمة للمساكين, that the Prophet made it obligatory to purify the fasting person from frivolity and indecency, and to feed the poor. Part of this hadith is من أداها قبل الصلاة فهي زكاة مقبولة ومن أداها بعد الصلاة فهي صدقة من الصدقات. Whoever pays it before the salah, it is an acceptable zakah, and whoever pays it after the salah, it is like any random charity, صدقة من الصدقات, like any random charity. Hadith is very powerful, very clear. However, none of the mazahib al-arba'a acted upon the wording of the hadith. They extended the permission to the end of Salat al-Eid. The end of the Eid day. They extended the permission to the end of the Eid day. How did they extend the permission to the end of the Eid day? They reported that the Prophet ﷺ used to yaqsimha ba'da salah. He used to pass out the sadaqat al-fitr after the salah. But you could also say that he was the agent of the poor in this case, and he received it before the salah. Also, this hadith, these reports are not authentic, that he used to divide, pay them after the salah. They also said, أغنوهم عن الطواف في هذا اليوم, spare them of going around asking for assistance on that day. It means any time of the day, you give them money, you spare them of going around and asking for assistance on that day. It would be safer to give it before the salah. Yes, certainly the vast majority of scholars said it's still acceptable up until the end of the Eid day, but they said it's preferable before the salah, and certainly given that hadith that is very strong, it would certainly be safer that you give it before the salah. Did we say that giving it before the salah to the charity organization will be sufficient? Yes, it is sufficient. You give it to, or if you give it to the masjid, put it in the box, you know. But that also, you see, we talked about ihsan and all of that stuff. That is basically just, you know, the laziness that ihsan is the antonym of ihsan. You know, it's just like, you know, No, you try to do it. You try to do it yourself. You try to find poor people. You try to make it like a day or two or three before, you know, preferably a day or two, like in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar, before the Eid day, and you do it yourself. And if you don't know a lot of poor people here, there are, you know, ask around, someone will be able to tell you, point out poor people for you. Because if you live a sterile life in your little suburbia, you probably want to just acquaint yourself with the world, you know, around you. And that really enhances your experience and makes you more, like, better rounded and et cetera, et cetera. But if for some reason someone is stuck in some place and no, then he can give the power of attorney to some relatives back home or some friends in a different city where there is inner city where there are poor. It's got to be, you know, for according to the vast majority, it's got to be Muslims. To some Muslims, sadaqah in general does not have to be to Muslims, but this particular sadaqah, because it is obligatory and it relates to Ramadan and ending hunger after Ramadan for people who are fasting, it is for Muslims. You could certainly find someone to give it on your behalf if you give them power of attorney. So that's the beginning and that the end of. So it starts any time, 1 or 2 days. That's the safest, according to Imam Shafi'i, from the beginning of Ramadan, and according to Imam Hanifa, even before the beginning of Ramadan. And we said, give it if you want to give it earlier, and you give it to the zakat organization, you're absolved of guilt, you're relieved, and you should be fine, inshallah, according to all of them. If the zakat organization, and it will be then the responsibility of the zakat organization to figure out which opinion they will take in terms of the final dispensing of that zakat. Lastly, Sheikh here said, وَيَجُوزْ أَنْ يُعْطِيَ الْوَاحِدْ مَا يَلْزَمُ الْجَمَاعَةَ وَالْجَمَاعَةَ مَا يَلْزَمُ الْوَاحِدْ. It is permissible to give one person the zakat that is obligatory in a group, and to give a group the zakat that is obligatory on one person. Meaning, if you live in, you know, you could divide your zakat, between three or four families. Or three or four people could give their zakat to one family. That's what he said. Many people could give their zakat to one family. One person could divide his zakat between many families, and that's pretty easy. But who should be getting the zakat to begin with? The eight recipients that are mentioned in the ayah get zakat al-fitr. According to whom? According to the Hanafis and Shafi'is and Hanbalis. Eight recipients. So the same thing like zakat al-mal applies to zakat al-fitr. Malikis said no. And this is also a report in the Hanbali madhab. The Malikis said, the Prophet ﷺ said, وَطُهْرَ وَطُعْمَرِ الْمَسَكِينَ, and to feed the poor. So this particular zakat, unlike zakat al-mal, does not belong to فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فِي الرَّقَابِ وَغَارِمِينَ الْعَمَلِينَ عَلَيَا مُؤَلَّفَ قُلُوبُهُمْ. No. This is for the الفقراء والمساكين. This is specifically for الفقراء والمساكين, for the needy people only. That is the position of Imam Malik, and, you know, it is the weaker report within the Hanbali madhab, but the Hanafis, Shafi'is, and Hanbalis in the authorized report said any of the eight recipients. Imam Shafi'i, like usual, like he does in Zakat al-Mal, he says all eight recipients, if you can find them all. Or those of them that you can find. You divide it between them. And that's it, I think.